ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् 5th canto chapter 23 text 3 यथा मेधिष्टम्ब आक्रमणम् Pashava samyotitas tribis tribihi savana yatastanam mandalani charantyevam bhagana grahadaya etasmin antarbahi yogena kala chakra ayojita dhruvam evavalabhya Columbia, Vayuna Diryamana Akalpantam Parichan Kramanti Nabhasi Yata Megha Shrenadayo Vayu Vasha Karma Sarataya Parivartante Evam Jyotirgana Prakriti Purusha Samyoga Nu Grihitata Grihitaha Karma Nirmita Gatayo Bhuvi Na Patanti Yata Exactly like Medhishtambhe Can repeat To the pivot post Akramana Pashavaha Bulls for threshing rice. Samyog chitaha, being yoked. Tribihi, by three. Savanai, movements. Yatastanam, in their proper places. Mandalani, orbits. Charanti, traverse. Evam, in the same way. Bhaganaha, the luminaries like the sun, the moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter. Graha Adayaha, the different planets. Etasmin, in this, Antabahi Yogena, by connection with the inner or outer circles. Kala Chakra, in the wheel of eternal time. Ayojita, fixed. Dhruvam, Dhruvaloka. Eva, certainly. Avalambya, taking support of. Vayuna, by the wind. Udiryamana, being propelled, akalpa antam, until the end of creation, until the end of creation, parichan kramanti, revolve all around, nabhasi, in the sky, yata, exactly like, Megha, heavy clouds. Shrena Adayaha, birds such as the big eagle. Vayu Vashaha, controlled by the air. Karma Sarathayaha, whose chariot drivers are the results of their own past activities. Parivartante, move around, evam, in this way, Jyoti Gana, the luminaries, the planets and stars in the sky, Prakriti, of material nature, Purusha, and of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, Samyoga Anugrihita, supported by the combined efforts karma nirmita, caused by their own past fruitive activities. Gatayaha, whose movements, bhuvi, on the ground, na, not, patanti, fall down. Translation. When bulls are yoked together and tied to a central post to thresh rice, they tread around that pivot without deviating from their proper positions. One bull being closest to the post, another in the middle, and a third on the outside. Similarly, all the planets and all the hundreds and thousands of stars revolve around the pole star, the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, in their respective orbits, some higher and some lower, fastened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the machine of material nature according to the results of their fruitive acts. They are driven around the pole star by the wind and will continue to be so until the end of creation. These planets float in the air within the vast sky, just as clouds with hundreds of tons of water float in the air, or as the great Shena eagles, due to the results of past activities, fly high in the sky and have no chance of falling to the ground. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the description of this verse, the hundreds and thousands of stars and the great planets such as the Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter are not clustered together because of the law of gravity or any similar idea of the modern scientists. These planets and stars are all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda or Krishna, and according to His order, they sit in their chariots and travel in their respective orbits. The orbits in which they move are compared to machines given by material nature, given by material nature to the operating deities of the stars and planets who carry out the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revolving around Dhruvaloka, which is occupied by the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva. So sometimes the question comes up, why do we need to hear about this? What does it have to do with us? Well, why do we need to know about the cosmology and moving of the stars? But there's an important feature given here that it's not happening accidentally. That's a very important point, because modern science is based on this principle of chance or accident or anishvaram, that there's no controller, there's no intelligent, there's no design. Just like, for example, at the Hayden Planetarium in New York, the largest in the world, they present theory that everything came out of a Big Bang explosion, and the Big Bang took place after the universal chunk came out of the void. So the ultimate source of everything is the void. And that void then accidentally exploded, and the universe has come about. This is the theory. Well, that's an atheistic theory. All the children are being taught that. And how does that affect one's consciousness? Well, it's certainly atheistic. There's no God. God was not mentioned once in the planetarium. They don't talk about God. So that's atheism. And atheism is demoniac, according to Bhagavad Gita. To present such a theory is demoniac. It's not pleasing to the Lord, and it will cause terrible results. In every sphere, you can look at every sphere, and you'll be able to analytically see how this atheistic theory has created havoc in not only human society, but all societies. Animals, the daityas, because they also don't want to accept Therefore, they create so many disturbances. That's one of the reasons. There are many reasons we study the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but that's one of them, to understand that it's not happening by gravity. That's why he's making the point here. Why don't we accept that it happens by gravity? Because the idea of gravity is some physical laws are supreme. But actually, it's not according to gravity, because according to gravity, heavy things fall down. Why don't they all fall down? Well, of course, they try to give some theory, but it's not correct. And there's no one able to prove or disprove their theories because it's too big. We're talking about things that are beyond their capacity to experiment with. You can't reproduce planets and then test the gravity and see how much it's pulling and this and that. You can make a theory, and that's it. People either accept it or they don't accept it. Continuing in the purport. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.52 as follows. Yachakshuresha savhita sakala grahanam rajasamastasuramurtirashesha tejaha yasya gyaya brahmati samvritakala chakro govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. So this verse from Brahma Samhita and supported here by the Bhagavatam says that the sun is moving. The sun is not stationary. The sun is moving around every day. In 24 hours, it completes a complete rotation. That's a solar day. And the other planets and the stars, they're also moving. The cluster of fixed stars, they all go together in one big group. Each one in their own place, each one connected to Dhruvaloka by what's called here the Vayuna, means the wind, or pravaha. They're propelled by the wind and they're connected by these invisible ropes of wind. And that's how they're spinning. It's like this. Just to give an example, if this is the pole star, they're going around and this is the pravaha, rope. So you can see how the planet, this particular planet, has got its orbit. And it can't change. And the pole star remains fixed, and it just rotates from there. So each planet, each star, is connected to the pole star, which is above in the Svargaloka. These planets revolve only in the Bhuvar and Svargalokas. The Bhurloka, which we're situated on, is below. The earth is called Bhumandala, which is stationary and doesn't move. According to the Vedas, the earth is stationary. It's not moving in the sky. But the other planets, such as the moon and the sun, Venus, Mars, etc., they're revolving around. According to the order of the Lord, even the sun has his order. He has to be right on time. The whole cosmic situation in the universe is like a big clock with its 12 rashis, just like we have our clock with 12 hours. And it's going around with such precision, down to the minutest second. Why doesn't it by chance, sometimes the sun doesn't shine? If everything was by chance, you would think that at least one day out of all these millions of years, one day there would be no sun if it were by chance. So this idea of chance is demoniac, and it's also foolish. Continuing in the purport. This verse from Brahma Samhita confirms that even the largest and most powerful planet, the sun, rotates within a fixed orbit, or Kala Chakra, in obedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has nothing to do with gravity or any other imaginary laws created by the material scientists. Material scientists want to avoid the rule and government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they imagine different conditions under which they suppose the planets move. So we can see Prabhupada is not giving too much credit to the theories of modern science when it comes to anything, but especially here in astronomy. So similarly, we should not. We shouldn't have any sentiments that, well, couldn't we see if we could come up with some reconciliation? Couldn't we try to make some compromise so that they'll be happy with us? Or that we don't look silly? The answer is no. The answer is we try to understand what the Bhagavatam is presenting, and for example, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is meant in Mayapur to depict that exactly. Nothing else. We don't have to worry about whether the scientists will accept it. We assume that they'll have a difficult time accepting it, as they have a difficult time accepting the soul, as they have a difficult time accepting that life comes from life, as they have a difficult time accepting that Darwin's theory is nothing more than fantasy. They have a difficult time with all the principles because Prabhupada has revealed the reason. They want to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they decry all the knowledge that's given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't be surprised. There's always going to be the two types of people, the demons and the devotees. If, according to their good fortune, if they're able to appreciate the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas, then that will be to their credit and they'll make some advancement in pious activity. Continuing in the purport. The only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the various predominating deities of the planets are persons, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a person. The Supreme Personality orders the subordinate persons, the demigods of various names, to carry out His supreme will. This fact is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, wherein Krishna says, Maya adakshena pakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kunteya jagadvi parivartite. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Krishna says very clearly, it's all working under my direction. The material energy is, this is exactly, Maya Adakshina. It's working under my supervision. Explains everything so nicely. Everything can be harmoniously carried out if we accept that there is a supreme controller, supreme creator, and everything should be done according to His plan. When we go against that plan, just like this digging for oil, it's not necessary. There is a system for travel. If you say, well, we have to travel by using oil. If we didn't have oil, how would we travel? There's bullock carts. There's flower airplanes. There's mystic yoga power. There's legs you can walk with. There's horses or chariots. There's so many ways to move around. But we think we have to move around in a different way. therefore we need oil, and therefore we have so many pollutions and problems and wars based on this idea. How many people are killed every year in car accidents, airplane accidents, all because of oil? How many people are killed in bullock cart accidents every year? Does anyone have the statistics? Very few. Because bullock carts are, if they collide with one another, no one gets killed. And we're thinking we have to go very quickly because we think we're making very quick progress. And where is our progress? We're quickly going to hell. But I have to hurry. The main thing is to hurry. Continuing in the purport. The orbits of the planets resemble the bodies in which all living entities are seated, because they are both machines controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this body is also a chariot. So the planets here are described as chariots, big chariots, and we have little body, little chariots. That's the analogy here. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Haridesha Janatishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The machine given by material nature, whether the machine of the body or the machine of the orbit, or Kala Chakra, works according to the orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature work together to maintain this great universe. And not only this universe, but also millions of other universes beyond this one. So according to the Vedic view, whatever we're seeing in the sky, this is all one universe. Sometimes the theory comes up, of course they have the theory, that there are many universes. There may be some distinction between the terms used. They may have a different definition for a universe. That's okay. But still, according to the Vedic view, what we're seeing is all encapsulated in one Brahmanda. We're not seeing, when we look out in the sky and we see so-called quasars and galaxies, they're not different universes. They're all within the 4 billion miles described by Shukadev Goswami as making up one Brahmanda. We may have a hard time with that, because we may think, well, they're talking about hundreds of millions of light years. How can you fit hundreds of millions of light years in 4 billion miles? It doesn't fit. And what's the explanation? The explanation is that their figures are wrong. How can we say that? What's the proof? Even if you sent, if you say, well, we send a laser beam and it bounced off that quasar and then it came back, well, how long would it take to get there? And how long would it take to get back? Who would be around to mark it, the time, and to prove? So there's no proof for any of these things. And they're always changing. And they're based on the Big Bang Theory, which says that there's no controller. How can we put so much faith in their estimates? Prabhupada doesn't put any faith in them. So we should also, similarly. But we have the Vedic view, and it works. We have the Vedic system, and it works. It was working 5,000 years at least, according to historical calculation, before the modern system. And even great scientists such as Einstein and others have admitted that whether you accept that the sun is stationary and the moon moves, and the earth moves around it, or you accept that the earth is stationary and the sun moves around it and the stars, there's no difference according to mathematics. There's no way we can tell, and there's no difference in the action. It's relative motion. Therefore, we don't have to be ashamed that we have the view of a stationary earth. Continuing in the purport. The question of how the planets and stars are floating is also answered in this verse. It is not because of the laws of gravity. Rather, the planets and stars are enabled to float by manipulations of the air. It is due to such manipulations that big heavy clouds float and big eagles fly in the sky. Modern airplanes like the 747 jet aircraft work in a similar way. By controlling the air, they float high in the sky, resisting the tendency to fall to earth. Such adjustments of the air are all made possible by the cooperation of the principles of Purusha, male, and Prakriti, female. By the cooperation of material nature, which is considered to be Prakriti, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is considered the Purusha, all the affairs of the universe are going on nicely in their proper order. Prakriti, material nature, is also described in the Brahma Samhita 544 as follows. Shushti stutipalaya sadhana shaktireka chayeva yasya bhuvanani piparti durga ichana rupam apiyasya chacheshta tesa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit, spiritual potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So every planet and every aspect of the cosmic manifestation is being conducted by persons. This idea of an impersonal universe, simply laws and things like that, is actually childish. It's similar to a child who, going to the supermarket, he sees the door open automatically and he thinks, oh, it's simply happening by automatic chance. But it's not chance, it's not automatic. We call it automatic, but it's supervised by persons. It was established by persons, and it's maintained by persons. And the mechanisms that allow it to open are also made by persons. But the child, because of being foolish, thinks that it's happening automatically. So science is like that. They're making all these statements and theories without knowing the actual situation. If they say, well, we don't believe in things like Brahma and Narada and Shiva, we've never heard of these things. Well, that's your foolishness. How can you claim to be a learned man and you don't know the oldest books in the world? You don't know the most authoritative books that deal with all subjects perfectly. You haven't taken the time to study them, and you claim to be a great scholar? You're a fool. Study up. Read these books, then you can give some opinion. But first, read them. You're not even aware of them. Who's Brahma? Who's Narada? You don't even know who the creator of this universe is. Continuing in the purport. Material nature, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, is also known as Durga, or the female energy that protects the great fort of this universe. The word Durga also means fort. This universe is just like a great fort in which all the conditioned souls are kept, and they cannot leave it unless they are liberated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself declares in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoviti Tatvataha Chakva Dehum Punar Janma Naiti Mamiti Sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, simply by Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be liberated, or, in other words, one can be released from the great fort of this universe and go outside it to the spiritual world. They don't even know that there's a spiritual world. They just are dealing with this world. They can't conceive that there could be another world that they can't see or that they can't perceive. That's the problem. Ataksi Krishna namadi nabhavet krayam indriya sevan mukhi hijiva dosvayames evas parajata. One cannot understand the transcendental world or transcendental reality through one's mind and senses. One has to take up the process of bhakti. Sevan Mukhi, he has to take up the process of devotional service. Then Krishna reveals the spiritual world to him. Continuing in the purport, it is also significant that the predominating deities of even the greatest planets have been offered their exalted posts because of the very valuable pious activities they performed in previous births. This is indicated herein by the words karma nirmita gatayaha. For example, as we have previously discussed, the moon is called Jiva, which means that he is a living entity like us. But because of his pious activities, he has been appointed to his post as the moon god. Similarly, all the demigods are living entities who have been appointed to their various posts as the masters of the moon, the earth, Venus, and so on because of their great service and pious acts. One point is that when the scholars from America and Europe went to India, especially around the 1850s, they, of course, were impressed by the Jyotish Shastras, such as Surya Siddhanta, because it was very mathematical. In fact, even Einstein said we owe a great debt to India because they taught us how to count. So the system of mathematics originates in India also. So they liked the Jyotish Shastras, such as Surya Siddhanta, but they completely didn't like the Puranas, because the Puranas, they felt, were just mythology and dealing with gods and demigods, things that they didn't accept. So they made a distinction. One, we accept. And then they gave a different interpretation on the Jyotish Shastras according to Western science, and they convinced or paid off the many of the Sanskrit scholars of India. Well, this is history. To agree with them and to teach that. But what we have found in our studies is that there is complete cooperation, complete agreement between the Jyotish Shastras and the Puranas. In fact, the Bhagavatam gives the same essential teachings in a very concise, coded way. And then the Jyotish Shastras, they expand on it in a tremendous way. Just like the Bhagavatam gives so many subject matters, it gives it in a concise way. For example, we were speaking with Professor Balachandra Rao, who was considered, this was a few years ago, but he was considered one of the top authorities in the world on Jyotish or Vedic astronomy. So he was helping us with our work, and we presented to him, do you know that the same calculations that are in the Jyotish Shastra are also in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And we showed him. He was shocked. He said, I had no idea that the Puranas had such. And now I'm going to have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, continuing. Regarding the great eagles mentioned in this verse, it is understood that there are eagles so big that they can prey on big elephants. Did I skip something? Okay. Only the predominating deity of the sun, Surya Narayan, is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Dhruva, the predominating deity of Dhruva Loka, is also a living entity. Thus, there are two kinds of entities, the Supreme Entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the ordinary living entity, the Jiva, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. All the demigods are engaged in the service of the Lord, and only by such an arrangement are the affairs of the universe going on. Regarding the great eagles mentioned in this verse, it is understood that there are eagles so big that they can prey on big elephants. They fly so high that they can travel from one planet to another. They start flying in one planet and land in another, and while in flight they lay eggs that hatch into other birds while falling through the air. In Sanskrit, such eagles are called shena. Under the present circumstances, of course, we cannot see such huge birds, but at least we know of eagles that can capture monkeys and then throw them down to kill them and eat them. Similarly, it is understood that there are gigantic birds that can carry off elephants, kill them, and eat them. The two examples of the eagle and the cloud are sufficient to prove that flying and floating can be made possible through adjustments of the air. The planets, in a similar way, are floating because material nature adjusts the air according to the orders of the Supreme Lord. It could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity, but in any case, one must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of God. I was speaking with a scientist at Rathyatra. She's a very famous scientist, actually. She came to the booth, and she was asking questions about cosmology. So we were explaining, and then she said, oh, I think this could be adjusted by electromagnetic forces. So that's all right. Prabhupada's saying that. You can use the terms gravity. You can use electromagnetic forces. You can use these terms, but you have to accept the basic principle that it's not happening accidentally. So she wanted to try to prove that to the scientists. And the last two sentences of the purport, the so-called scientists have no control over them. The scientists can falsely, improperly declare that there is no God, but this is not a fact. Are there any questions? Yes? I think you said it, and he said it here also. Same idea, that it's a question of terms. If you say that gravity, as they do, happens by its own devices, now that we cannot accept. But if you say gravity is working under the direction of the Lord, then you could say that. But ultimately, the universe is, for example, the Bhumandala is held up by Ananta. Ananta is situated at the bottom of the universe. And on his hoods, one of his hoods, the Bhumandala, or you could say the basis of the universe, is situated. So it's not that's what he means by not gravity. It's not accidental. Ananta, in the Garga Samhita, it's described that Ananta Shesha was ordered to go down to the bottom of the universe and hold up the universe. And he, by the Lord, by Krishna. And he said, well, how am I going to do that? I mean, that's a heavy weight. And what will be my basis? He said, well, I'll come down as Kurma, and you can rest on me. And so Kurma came down, incarnation of the Lord, and Ananta is situated on top of Kurma, and then the universe. He said, how long will I have to stay here? And he said, until you complete the glorification of my activities. But that's a long time, so therefore he had to stay for the whole duration of the universe.
So Prabhupada says, yes, there is an attraction, there is a force there. But like you are pointing out so nicely in your class today, it's a personally controlled force. It's not just happening personally. You're thinking because of the weight and size of each body in the universe, they have a certain attractive force and they kind of balance out and some things remain in particular. But it's all under personal control. And that attractive force, you may call it gravity, like you said, but it's there because somebody is willing. And therefore we see that there are things that defy that force. For instance, when a yogi learns to levitate, he's defying that force. And Krishna explains to Uddhava in the 11th canto, that all of these yogic powers are actually given by him. The knowledge of how to manipulate the sub-material energies are given by him. So in any way you look at it, it's still under control.
Yeah, specifically, Dhruva is in control of these things with his air ropes, pravaha winds. So if you say gravity is acting only by some pushes and pulls, that's not correct. What about Dhruva? What about the Pravaha winds? You're not taking those into account. Those are the real features that have to be understood.
if there's such sophistication in terms of demigods and you know, all these activities by the Lord of holding up the universes, well, then the next question they usually come up with is, then why is like, let's say, India or at that particular period of time so primitive in terms of external vision? In other words, one of the things that keeps the scientists going, I think, is that their so-called progress in terms of airplanes, fast cars, skyscrapers, paved roads. It seems that society in general takes that to be that you know, that is progress. That is what's the proof of this progress and knowledge. Whereas, how can they believe that there was this kind of knowledge existing thousands of years ago when there was a primitive nature?
Yeah, they call it primitive. They give that that pejorative term to it, but actually it's not a primitive culture. It's a culture based on self-realization, on that I'm just here temporarily. It's like saying, if someone gets in a train and he just sits there and waits till he arrives and gets out, well, that's primitive. Whereas the person, someone else, he gets in, he starts making all kinds of, you know, improvements to the car. That's not really the purpose of the train. It's not the purpose of his being there, to make all these so-called improvements, hanging things, putting new wallpaper. Actually, it's a disturbance. The train company doesn't appreciate, well, who are these foolish people who made all these improvements? And if they bring him before the court and they say, why did you do this? Well, I wanted to improve it. I'm sitting in the same train, it's going along, and I wanted to make it nicer. But what is that making it nicer? You just disturbed everything. So they don't really know what the purpose of life is. That's the problem. They don't know that human life is not meant to sit here and try to enjoy the material energy. It's meant to get out of here. It's like being in prison. Fort, Durga. The idea is to get out of it, not to stay here and make a nice comfortable place and, you know, flatter and bribe the warden so that after 20 years you can move to a different location, cell, which has a little better view. That's foolishness. Why don't you make an arrangement to get out of this cell, get out of the jail, get out of the whole place, and go back to the place where there's unlimited pleasure without any disturbance? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Next time you come back to the Oracle, let's do a big, you know, presentation, yeah, video, yeah, everything.